This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Janganlah pun lawyer buruk sana sini ai bikin sibuk naik basikal semacam beruk tak ada kerja tolak abu. Oh, mi cece.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with me, Arvind Yuvaraj, and joining me over on Zoom is Shamila Ganesan, as usual. And in the studio today, sitting in for Lee Chui Lin, is Hezril Ashraf. Hey, Hezril.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Nice to have you with us.
Yeah. Yes, lovely to be here.
Nice to have you. So we wanted to dedicate today's Throwback Tuesday to a conversation about Malaysian cinema. And we thought, what better way to do that, or who better to do that than P. Ramlee, and more specifically, Seniman Bujang Lapok.
Yeah. It feels both like such an obvious choice to the point that it's almost too obvious because we almost talk about P. Ramlee all the time when we talk about Malaysian cinema. But having rewatched, Seniman, this is the first time I'm watching it. Having watched the movie, I'm reminded of how rich that conversation is and how much there is still to learn about our filmmaking history from watching P. Ramlee films.
For me, I was a bit surprised at how like equally dated but also modern the jokes were. Like you could tell that the film was shot in a time where these jokes were considered new, quote-unquote. But at the same time, because we're watching it today, the jokes seem kind of old. So you could tell how ahead of his time P. Ramlee was. But watching it now, it's also because one thing, the language is kind of dated. And of course, the settings are kind of dated. So it's a very interesting experience watching it in 2020, this movie.
Yeah, and I think certainly when you think outdated, you think sort of in a way, I think there were some clear like Charlie Chaplin references with the sound animations, the whistles, every time they winked, a character winked. But also it was... One thing that I did find timeless was how the characters sort of animated their faces and their expressions and how somehow it felt familiar. And that part to me didn't feel outdated. And so this is actually my second time watching it because I watched it as a kid. And it was such a joy to be able to soak in those, you know, very simple pleasures that the actors inserted through their facial expressions.
So just to recap a little bit of what the story is, Seniman Bujang Lapok tells, it's actually the fourth in the Bujang Lapok series. And so, you know, they famously have the trio of P. Ramlee, S. Shamsuddin and Aziz Sattar. And they kind of display variations of themselves in each of the films. So Seniman Bujang Lapok in particular is about three bachelors who live in a sort of communal apartment style space with many, many other people. And the three of them aspire to be in the film industry. And they kind of almost make it. I'm not quite sure. The movie doesn't quite show you what happens finally, but and all of their madcap adventures along the way and the relationships they have with the people that they live with. So that's pretty much it. And along the way, you know, there's a lot of humor. There's a lot of heart. There's you know, their friendship. There's also the love story that P. Ramlee has with Saloma. But I think most of all, I think what's interesting is that it really is a kind of a send-up of the Malay film industry at that time.
So I was going to say that it's very meta in the way that it's done for a film that was this is 1961, right? Mm-hmm. It is so sort of transparent in the way that they do things. It's sort of messaging and it's sort of the meta way that it looks at the film industry and what it's trying to say. I wouldn't have expected a movie like that to come out back then. Obviously, I watched this like a long time ago. I was not sure which one of the Bujang Lapok movies this was, but I'm sure that I had watched it. But when you're a kid, you don't pick up on all these messages and you don't pick pick up on, like, they're talking about the film industry, or they've got some messaging and they're like delivering something in between the lines, you know, stuff. When I watched it now, I was like, they're really trying to say something and put it in a comedy, which again goes back to what I said before. It's way ahead of its time.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said actually about how a lot of the movie, you know, as much if not more of it takes place in their boarding house, right? And the sort of ridiculous, almost, you know, interruptions they face when they try to rehearse their lines after they're hired as actors in the studio. And I think there's something to be said about how the movie sort of allows the viewer to enter their world, right? And that is really their neighborhood and their community. And I'm not sure that many Western movies, you know, modern Western movies today necessarily sort of allow us to enjoy their environment as much, right? Because there's always sort of an isolated story plot where you sort of just focus on the character. Maybe you get a few scenes and shots of the city or the, you know, wherever the movie takes place in, but you don't really, you know, see people engage with like strangers on the sidewalk or like their neighbors. And I think it's very interesting that the movie, how the movie paces that along, because some of it is like, very like long passing moments in between things that actually move the
long
the,
passing
right?
moments.
And so I think that was like sort of, I guess, surprising how enjoyable it was for us to just take it all in and not like expect the storyline to develop like we do now.
Yeah, it's really the, in a weird way, it's the stuff of high art cinema these days, you know, the focus on the mundane, the focus on the everyday, you know, scenes where there's so much humor out of just a guy being too sleepy to put toothpaste on his toothbrush properly, or a long line of people waiting to use the toilet, or, you know, the fact that actually a scene from that film recently was revived and memeified, the scene of them trying to take a bath and it being too cold, so they just splash water on their faces. We were using that with the Selangor water crisis a couple of weeks, last week. You know, so it's because it's so familiar. It's so intimate and it's so familiar. And those are things that no matter what else feels dated, the humor in those situations are still so recognizable for us today.
I mean, like, after a while, I felt like I wanted to see what the back of their house was like and what 3 a.m. in their house was like. Because, like you said, like Hezrel, you know, you said that the way they paste it is so sort of, it takes its time and it shows you, like, bits and pieces, like what 2 a.m. is like and what 4 a.m. is like, and then what sunrise is like, to a point where you sort of get so comfortable in their house that you're like, okay, what's going to happen next? And then you see a guy in the background sort of show up to fix a light, or he's doing something, and that seems interesting. You're like, oh, who's this?
And it really is, like, when you consider the cinematography at the time, like how like not great it was compared to, you know, modern day cameras and tech.
Yeah,
it's just, it was, I think what caught me off guard was like how when we did look at the mundane and you know, them waiting outside the bathroom and them dipping their fingers in the water and like, for, you know, like showing us how cold it was, to the point where they didn't even bother to take a shower, right? They just sort of just wet their eyes with the water. It's just amazing how those textures came through without considering the fact that it wasn't like HD quality. And, you know, we really couldn't see the water and see the colors, right? The physical colors.
It's black and white.
The fact that it was black and white.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to get to a short break to get some messages in, but keep the conversation going at BFM Radio and at BFM Popcorn on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Let us know, do you like Seniman Bujang Lapo? Do you like P. Ramlee? What do you think about his movies? And give us some recommendations. We will continue after this. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Kawan aku si Ramli ni dah kemaruk nak berbini. Kau tolonglah dapatkan aku 350 ringgit cash.
Popcorn Culture on BFM 89.9. We are throwing back today to Siniman Bujang Lapo. As part of a conversation about Malaysian cinema, about P. Ramlee, we decided to throw back this week. Call it the Merdeka thing, call it a Malaysia Day thing, call it us showing some love to the local art scene thing. And I wanted to ask you guys, like, what do you think about a remake in this context? Like, we don't talk about remakes a lot. In Malaysia, we don't remake a lot of movies. But do you think if they remade Seniman Bujang Lapo today, would it work? And can anyone sort of do justice to P. Ramlee?
So the second part of the question, I'm going to flat out say no. And I think we'll talk a little bit more later about P. Ramlee himself and performance, but I don't think anyone can be P. Ramlee. However, I actually think that the story of three sort of layabouts who have big dreams and are just essentially nice people, but slightly daft, can be remade in any era. And I can so see that kind of being great in today's landscape. Add some like social media onto that. Perfect.
That's the thing though, Sharmila. I hesitate to agree with you on that because I think I'm like afraid of like a remake being made.
I don't know that it'll be good.
And part of that is because of the things like the social media and the, you know, the cityscapes and the environment, the ongoing developments that we see in Malaysia. It's like how much would, firstly, like, you know, if directors do decide to like incorporate that into a remake, like how much would that take away from the simplicity of the very human interactions, right? Because that's really what the Seniman Bujang Lapo is about. I think that's what makes it so relatable, is that there really isn't any, you know, bells and whistles, you know, that prevent the just the full range of human emotions and those very human points to come through to the viewer. So I'm just wondering if anything, it would definitely have to be set like far away from the city.
Yeah.
And perhaps
I'd
be willing to consider a remake.
I think it's that rawness that you're talking about. Like there is some kind of, there is a rawness to old films because like you said, they didn't have the tech to sort of, what is the word? Like glossify everything and make it look like super posh and super clean. There's that sort of grit to like old films that I got in this movie as well. It's like, it's one, it's like super nostalgic. The other thing is it is very, very unfurnished in the way that it's done. So I don't know. I was thinking about this as well. I was thinking about some comedies, although they are successful and they are good. I don't know if it can replicate Seniman Bujang Lapo. I don't know if it can replicate any of the old P. Ramlee films simply because it was made possible by P. Ramlee. And I think he's the most important component there. And he's not just like a filmmaker. He's like a producer, writer, composer, filmmaker.
Singer.
Yeah. Singer.
His
yeah.
voice. Like every time I watch any of these films, the thing that strikes me is what an amazing singer he is.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Arvind. And that's what I meant earlier, that I, like, when you watch this film and you see the level of craft that P. Ramlee is operating at, and you know, actually, to be fair, Aziz Sardar and S. Shamsuddin are great as well in that tradition of broad physical humor that you get with, you mentioned Charlie Chaplin, Hezreel, but also, you know, the Three Stooges. You know, there's so many of these great interactions that happen between them. And because of that, because of how cameras worked on, you know, back then, because of how filming was done, a lot relied on their expression and their body language. And you see the way someone like P. Ramlee plays with body language. He's not good looking by today's standards, for instance, but the way he swaggers, the way he moves, and then he can also contrast that with the bumbling around. And I'm just blown away by how do you do that? How do you do that with your body, with your face, and sell it to us every time?
Yeah, it is kind of like, it's one of a kind. Every time you see a P. Ramlee thing, it seems one of a kind. It seems very hard for other people to step into those shoes unless they are sort of mimicking or memeing or parodying. But I don't think it's easy to parody someone who's so good at comedy. So even that, you might probably like fall flat.
Because he parodies himself all the time.
And I think that really speaks to, I think part of the, you know, how P. Ramlee is able to, you know, swoon us every time we see him on screen is is because of the fact that you know, movies you know, back in the day did allow that pace, you know, really slowed down the pacing and allowed us to soak up the movie in ways that, you know, a lot of modern movies don't, right? Mm. I feel like right now there's always this need to get to the point, and to make sure that the plot line, you know, is just, you know, always exhilarating, that there's momentum, you know, there's something always happening to keep us in our seats and like anticipated. But you know, Bhujang Lapo and movies of P. Ramlee's era really take their time with us, right? It's like they want us to be comfortable with the fact that we're going to sit in the cinema for 2 hours.
2 hours,
And not you know, not going to chase our next appointment with someone, or, you know, check our phones. And it really speaks to people's attitude at the time. Like, I remember hearing stories of my granddad, or rather my grandparents' parents, you know, in their kampong, sort of taking their time. I'd hear stories of, you know, them taking like 10-20 minutes to put their socks on because they'd take a smoke in between like the right sock and the left left sock, right? And it's like,
and they show you that in this film,
right? They do. And there's just so much, I think, pleasure to maybe possibly yearning to wonder, like, oh, like, you know, could we have that sense of time now and like just not always be in a rush to go everywhere all the time?
It's like relative time. It's like Interstellar, you know, like time in the city is different and time outside the city is like different, and it moves differently.
That sense of meandering time, Seniman Bhujang Lapo second half kind of takes it a little too far, I feel, because my favorite of the Bhujang Lapo series are Ali Baba and Pendekar. And both of those are sort of very funny and tight, and there's a very strong story that runs through it, whereas Seniman is kind of like, it really does meander. It really is about these individual experiences with the different people in this boarding house, rather than a particular story. And so that, I think, is sometimes a little bit of a problem for me with this film. But overall, you know, the humor, the performance is really, really solid for me.
Yeah, I think it's the difference between the pacing in the first half and then the pacing in the second half. I think the movie works as two films in one. The first hour is a completely different thing where they're trying to break into like the studio system and become like actors and stuff. The second half is just them at home, and it's like one night and what happens in that night, the hijinks that ensue. So I think it's easier to see the movie as that, like the two-part film. Also, something that I wanted to shout out is how family-friendly these films are, and how there are certain like kind of moral lessons that are, you know, interwoven into the script itself. There's this one scene where they're going to talk to a guard, a security guard.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that scene.
I love that scene because I didn't expect it. And the way they sort of call him, and it's rudely, right? They like call him like, "Oi," you know, and he doesn't respond. And then he says, "Don't call people like that. You know, I'm not a brick."
Yeah, he says it like, "I'm a human being.
I'm a human being. You know, I'm not just an object. You know, don't like oi me. I have a name. You know, just treat me with respect." And I'm like, that is such a wholesome thing to have in the movie when you didn't have to. You could have just used it as comedy. And I think being rude to people is comedic in a way, if you know how to do it. A lot of Hollywood films do it. But it was nice to see that little bit in the film.
And I think those points came up too. You know, those moral points, even in the second half, when most of that part took place in the boarding house, right? The interruptions that like came up in the middle of the night when the couple argued with each other,
yeah.
Or well, there were two different arguments. I think there was the Malay couple, and then there was also the Indian couple that argued and how you know, P. Ramlee's character stepped in as mediator, right, and sort of encouraged people to sort of let things go and not be worked up, you know, about, you know, the little things,
the small things,
right, and how. And I guess to an extent, like, how can, like, communities coexist alongside each other when everyone's in a boarding house and when everyone should be considerate of each other and not wake each other up in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
And I think those small points of kindnesses speak to those moral lessons.
Yeah.
And they're not preachy. I think most importantly, don't feel like you're being lectured to, like, they're done so naturally and so well.
Yeah, it's just, it feels completely natural in the script.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So just in closing, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, how would you recommend Seniman Bujang Lapo to anyone who hasn't seen it or anyone who hasn't revisited it in the last 20 years, let's say?
I give Seniman Bujang Lapo itself something like a 6.5. But I'd say watch all four, starting from Bujang Lapo all the way to Seniman, which is the last. And then I give the whole series a collective like 8 or 9.
So I'd probably give it an 8 just because, you know, I've watched it as a child with my granddad, who's a big P. Ramlee fan. So there's like some sentimental value in that. But certainly, I think it's a great introduction, you know, for people who are not familiar with P. Ramlee at all, because of the, I guess, the pacing, right, and the comedy and perhaps you know, of course, like Sharmila said, to watch all four, right,
four with these three people,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I think I'd be in the middle. I'd give it like a 7. I would definitely recommend it. Not as high as the others, like you said, but a 7 is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we've been talking about Seniman Bujang Lapo. Let us know if you like it. You can find us at BFM Radio or at BFM Popcorn on Twitter and Instagram. Also, we will be continuing this conversation on Thursday during our Supercut, 7:30 p.m. So tune in for that. We have a guest. Tune in to find out who that is. And yeah, so just keep the conversation going. Let us know what you think. Give us some recommendations. This has been Popcorn Culture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.